Hopkins. Bryant for the win.
Interviews from your favorite local coaches and athletes.
He's getting to the basket of will, and he's hitting that three-point shot with some consistency now, and he's just in a groove right now where he's pretty well unstoppable.
Hall of Fame and legendary guests.
I was driven by loving to play, liking the challenge of being an NFL quarterback, but after 18 years, I was 1 month short of 39 years old. It's time to go.
Analysis and insight on the latest national sports topics. Live from the Auto Farm Studios, it's Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.
Welcome into another edition of Drive Time Sports. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini. As always, happy to be along with you on the afternoon drive. It is Football Tuesday and back in the studio after taking the last couple of days off. For the Thanksgiving holiday around this time, we play some best of shows as I take some time off for Thanksgiving and Christmas. We'll do more of that in a few weeks, but today we are back on regular schedule, and there is a ton to talk about. Last night, we have the Eagles and the Seahawks. It was a monumental game. Seattle gets a win. They are now first place in the NFC West. Philadelphia, they fall behind the Giants in the NFC East playoff race. So when you look at the records, it wouldn't appear that last night's game was that big, specifically for the Eagles, but it was. And that was a very, very big game. Carson Wentz, once again, he struggled. On Sunday, his counterpoint, which is always going to be Jared Goff, because they went 1-2 in the 2015 NFL draft, Jared Goff struggled. I want to talk about the struggles from these two quarterbacks a little bit later on. We'll bring in Vinny Rondinelli. Who would you rather have right now, Carson Wentz or Jared Goff? Because Goff looked awful in Sunday's loss to San Francisco. He looked awful in a loss against Miami. He was awful in a loss earlier this year against Buffalo. Wentz doesn't have a lot of options. When you look at Goff, he's got some options. Doesn't really have any speedsters, but he's got two elite wide receivers in Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods. The Rams have some struggles on the offensive line, but I think it's a viable conversation. We'll talk about that. We'll also talk about the Detroit Lions letting go of Matt Patricia. It's not a shock. It's really not. We knew it was only a matter of time, but they also let go of Bob Quinn, who was supposed to be brought in for a culture change. You know, the Patriot way. So Quinn goes, he gets his guy, Matt Patricia. It doesn't work out. They're both out. So we'll talk about that on Football Tuesday. Also today, we are going to talk local sports. On Thursday, we'll have the first basketball broadcast of the year. Emory's boys squad will travel on the road to American Heritage, 2 days away from that. Today, we are going to focus on the girls' side of the court for Emory High School. Coach Lynn Tuttle will join us over the phone here in just a few moments. We'll preview Friday and Saturday's openers. Emory's going to travel to Morgan. We'll talk about the team and just preview the 2020 season. That's all coming up here on this edition of Drive Time Sports. Again, it's Football Tuesday. We're here on 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM. Back in just a moment.
What you listening to?
Big sports radio guy.
Prepare the water cooler, that we may gather around it later and discuss things.
It's time for the Coach's Corner on Drive Time Sports.
Let's talk some high school basketball here on Drive Time Sports. Coming up this Friday, it's the first game of the season for the Emory Lady Spartans. They've missed four games, but this weekend they'll be able to travel on the road to take on Morgan. The boys, they'll begin their season on Thursday. We'll catch up with Coach Cincinnatus later on this week. Right now, we're going to focus on the girls' side with Coach Lynn Suttle, who is joining us over the phone right now. And Coach, as always, it is a pleasure. I appreciate the time again today. Thank you.
You bet. Glad to do it, Jordan.
Coach, another season is here. I guess a couple of weeks ago, we didn't know if we would even have a season, right? I mean, so for someone who was so experienced in the game of basketball, even for those who aren't experienced, I'm sure nothing could have prepared you for the last 6-7 months.
No, absolutely not. It was up in the air. Well, 2 weeks ago, it was full steam ahead. We were going to go through with tryout. Get in the gym and begin, and then obviously the governor made the announcement and shut us down for a couple weeks. So as of now, we've been in the gym with the break. Thanksgiving, we've only been in the gym 3 days. Moving forward, we've got three more days now, and we go to Morgan and play in a tournament. So, I don't know how prepared we are right now. I don't expect to be fully prepared by the weekend, but hopefully we move in that direction and we can have a good showing.
Hey, Coach, you and I were talking about the schedule before we hopped on air, and the girls' basketball team has been put at such a disadvantage in comparison to some of the other squads. I mean, the boys' basketball team, they've managed to make up a couple of games, add a couple of games, and I know that that's kind of been a reoccurring theme throughout the state. That's not the case with the Emory girls' squad. You guys had the first four games of the season, November 17th, 20th, 24th, and December 1st. Tonight, it was supposed to be a home game against North Summit. Those games are not taking place, and you just flat-out lose them.
Yeah, I have tried to reschedule with them teams that we miss out on, but with conflict of schedule with the boys, having the gym the nights that the other teams are available to play, just didn't work out. And we already had two Saturday games through December, so unfortunately we lose them first four games, and disappointed about that. When I scheduled them last year, I was excited for the first, basically almost the full month being home, and getting them games under our belt and then traveling a little bit. But like you mentioned, we lost the first four and they were all home. So now we're on the road quite a bit for the next 3 weeks.
Yeah, no question. In fact, 9 road games, 6 home games out of a 15-game schedule. That's what remains for the girls' squad. Coach, has there been any discussion about how this will be addressed within the RPI, or is it just normal? I mean, you guys getting 15 games, it's a little bit different compared to some of the other squads in the state. How's that going to be accounted for? Do you have any idea?
So my understanding, I think it's not going to be accounted for. If we only play 15 games, we're going to be rated with our RPI with the opposing teams we meet, win or lose. So the 4 or 5 games we lose, I guess the 4 games we lost, they just will not be included in it.
That's an interesting dynamic. I mean, I guess it could work out for you, it could work against you. I mean, I guess time will tell.
Yeah, it will. Like I say, we lost some good opponents. Delta, North Summit would have been tonight. Probably one of the better ball clubs we'd have played all year. So I'd like to have went through with that one and been able to play it. But with the governor's announcement, I guess competition play couldn't begin till December 3rd.
Again, our guest right now is Coach Lynn Zuttle of the Emory Lady Spartan basketball team. Again, they'll begin their season this weekend on the road against Morgan. We'll talk about that weekend tournament in just a moment. Coach, I want to go back to last season. I mean, this is a program that has a very rich history. You as a head coach, you have a huge, very high winning percentage. I mean, it's an expectation to win a state championship. And unfortunately, the season came to an end unceremoniously. I mean, it was kind of a shocker the way the season came to an end. For you, how much motivation and I guess how anxious are you to get rolling knowing how last season came to an end?
We're definitely ready to go. It left a bad taste in our mouth that play-in game over at the BDAC. Not just for myself, but I think the girls are ready to get back in, kind of erase what had happened and move forward with some team goals. We set them, and now we can get in the gym and start working towards them. But, yeah, definitely a bad ending for us last year, and we're going to hopefully move forward and not have that same outcome this year.
The one positive to what happened last year, Coach, is you have such a rich junior class. This is one of the more elite junior classes in all of 3A. I mean, we can talk about Bailey and Tambry and Addie Lester all returning on the team this year. They did pick up valuable experience. And the old saying is sometimes you learn more from a loss from a win. You never want to lose. But in the same sense, I mean, you got this junior class coming back. I'm sure it was a great learning experience for them.
Yeah, it was. Something they don't want to be confronted with again and have happen. But going into this year versus the last year was somewhat of a rebuild year. Obviously, I had that exceptional group before the seniors last year, so I didn't have a lot of varsity time. You mentioned some of the girls coming in this year. Two of them was starters for the full year, and the others played considerable amount of varsity time. So I think going into this season, the outlook is a little brighter than last season. We've only got one senior on the team, Beth Justice, but she played a lot of varsity last year. She'll definitely be one of our leaders on the floor. So we are young on paper, but as far as varsity experience, I think we're going to be in pretty good shape.
Now, let's talk about some of these juniors, Coach, and we'll start with Tambri. I mean, she's such a dynamic player. As far as her work on the glass last season, I mean, it was very impressive. I believe her final statistic, she averaged something around 11.7 rebounds. But when you have a player like that who's long, lengthy, very difficult to guard, and of course can do such damage on the boards, and I know especially with Tatum Tanner going down, I'm sure you're going to have to rely on Tambri on the glass.
Yeah, I am. Nice thing about her, she's very versatile. She can play three or four different positions on the floor, and without Tatum being out with her knee injury, she's definitely going to have to kind of utilize them skills. She's going to be at the four and five regularly, and because of the injury and stuff and our personnel, she's not going to spend a lot of time out on the perimeter. But I think she's determined, willing to switch over and work hard, so we got to be okay with that.
Coach, at this level, at the 3A girls high school level here in the state of Utah, when you have someone that is as versatile as Tambri, what type of mismatch problems can that cause for the opposition when you have girls who are playing the 4 or 5 and maybe they're more comfortable playing inside the paint or down in the low block when you have someone like Tambri who can take them 15, 20 feet away from the basket? I mean, what kind of advantage does that present in your eyes at this level?
Well, on the offensive side, it can create an advantage, especially if they're going to play man. We can bring Tambri out a little further away from the rim. And if if she's got a five gardener, she's probably quick enough to get around her. If the defender don't come out fully, she's capable of knocking down the outside shot. So she can take advantage of things right there. If they zone up, not necessarily the case. Tambri can just kind of float in space and try to find an opening. But, yeah, if they man us up, it's definitely going to be an advantage on the offensive side. On the defensive side, there's going to be some teams that's going to be quite a bit bigger than us, and she'll give up quite a bit of weight and strength going against a few of them. So she will struggle a little bit defensively.
Coach, if we talk about some of the other juniors, for instance, Bailey Jacobson, I mean, the game just looked different when Bailey was on the court last year.
Yeah, she's as athletic as a girl can be, and she's a great scorer. Last year we had some issues with point guard when Tatum Milson went down, so we were trying to get her in that role, in that position, see if she could run the one. But what it done is kind of took her out of a scoring position, so... We'll have an Addie back from last year. She's on concussion protocol and just never really excelled like she can. Having her back at the point and putting Bailey on the wing, she can get back in that scoring position. And I expect she's going to probably be one of the leading scorers for us. And I expect great things out of her.
Well, one of the great things about this program, Coach, over the last couple of years is we have really seen a lot of positives from some of the younger girls. So the junior class we know is fantastic. Senior class, a little bleak with only one senior. When you go down and you look at the sophomores and the freshmen, how happy are you with what you're seeing at that level?
Yeah, we've got a lot of talent in that younger level. I think 16 of our 22 players on the team are freshmen and sophomores. We've got a few freshmen coming in that's got a lot of talent. We've got a sophomore class that they're all pretty good ball players. It's difficult to find time with, four or five of them, get them out on the floor and where they can advance and develop how they should. With that many players at that age, it's a little difficult that way. But, yeah, we're real enthused with that younger group. We don't have a lot of size in the younger group, but as far as athleticism and guards, we're loaded.
Now, Coach, we'll fast forward to this weekend to get a trip to Morgan for a weekend tournament. What type of competition do you expect to see over the course of the 2 days?
We match up with Morgan the first night, all three levels. They're a physical ball club. They've got some returners. They've got a big girl that's coming back that's real efficient. I expect a physical ball game with them. That's how it was last year. If win or lose, I mean, the opponent we'll match up with the following day will be Syracuse. I believe they're a 6A school. Don't know a lot about them, but I expect them to be – they're going to be decent for sure. or Bear River. And I expect both of them ball clubs will be, I'm sure they'll outsize us. But I like our chances against it, and it'll be a good experience for us.
Now, right out of the gate to play schools that are upper classification, especially when you're maybe down a little bit on games, I see no negative there whatsoever.
Right, win or lose, them will be great experiences for us.
Definitely. Well, Coach, I always appreciate the time. It's great to get you back on. I know we'll have plenty of basketball to talk about in the very near future. First home game, December 12th against Hurricane. I guess that's the first night where fans can come out and support the Lady Spartans.
Yep, that's a Saturday game, and we look forward to that.
Coach, thank you so much, and I'm sure we'll talk again real soon.
Hey, thank you, Jordan.
Again, Coach Lynn Suttle of the Emory Lady Spartan basketball team this weekend, opening up the season on the road against Morgan. And then Syracuse or Bear River, again, first home game against Hurricane on Saturday, December 12th. So a little over a week away from that contest. And then, really, just a couple, a handful of games before you dive into region play. The first region game will be January 7th on the road against Richfield. We're going to break for just a moment. More Drive Time Sports coming up. We'll move over to the national side of things. It is Football Tuesday. We'll talk NFL right after this on Drive Time Sports.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports on KOAL AM 750, the play-by-play home of the USU Eastern Eagles.
We're back on Drive Time Sports. It's Football Tuesday here on 107.3 FM and 750 AM. Typically, I'm sitting right across from Vinny Rondinelli on Tuesday. Not the case, but we have Vinny joining us over the phone right now to talk NFL Week 12. I mean, we are moving right through the season. Playoff picture becoming more unclear by the day. Vinny, it's always a pleasure to get you back on. Miss you in the studio, but it's great to talk with you over the phone.
Yeah, these are crazy times. Been a crazy year, football and everything else. So, yeah, at least we get to talk on the phone. Week 12, man, it's been wild. The whole, you know, just like everything this year, 2020 has just been a, you know, there's different words for it. We can't stay in the air, but it's been wild, right?
It's been wild. It's been wild. And one of the things that you and I love to talk about, we have a lot of conversations here on the show, it's about coaches. And we saw the first domino drop, the first hat drops. Matty P., out in Detroit, and it's not just Matt Patricia, it's also Bob Quinn out. So Detroit, they oust the general manager and they oust their head coach. And if you go back just 3-4 seasons ago, we were looking at Detroit saying, it's a new era. Bob Quinn, brilliant football mind. He gets his guy, Matt Patricia. Detroit looked good right out of the gate under Matt Patricia. Since then, things have really soured. It should not be a big surprise that this is the case. Shouldn't be. However, mid-season getting rid of Matt Patricia, and I'll tell you, Vinny, the one thing that struck me after the announcement, former players came out and piled on Matt Patricia, and I have never seen that at any level at the professional realm, ever.
Yeah, that's a tough deal. You know, last year with all the injuries and everything they went through, you kind of thought they were going to bounce back this year, and they started off okay, and then it fell apart, and you're right, you're getting a lot of guys, you know, that don't buy into the Patriot way, as people like to call it. A lot of guys are pretty hard on that. And with Quinn and Patricia, I think it became obvious there was a toxic culture there that, again, we get to talk about this all the time on the radio and hang out and read articles, but we're not in that room. And a lot of times it takes the change before somebody will maybe come out and say things were maybe a little ugly, or right before it happens. You know, you'll get reports, hey, things were pretty ugly. And it seems like with Matty P. and Bob Quinn, not a good culture there in Detroit. Things were going south. Yeah, so very interesting, very interesting. And, you know, it has to be pretty bad when it's in season for most guys, Jordan. Most guys do not want to do that during the season. A lot of teams frown on that. So, very interesting. Very, very interesting how it came to be, and kind of surprised how brutal people were, right? I mean,
that's what shocked me. That's what shocked me because,
yeah, I mean, you're talking to a guy, Matty P's had success, and again, you know, people getting away from their roots or their mentor and not doing as well as they did in New England. I mean, I think it speaks to, what do we want to say? I think it speaks to how good Belichick maybe really is. I think we can agree maybe he's the greatest of all time coaching football, but you see these guys without him, and it doesn't go well.
Yeah, the coaching tree, it just hasn't worked out. I mean, if you look at Bill Belichick's coaching tree, you're seeing a lot of guys get opportunities, but it rarely works out. I'll tell you the one thing that really struck me about this whole deal with the Detroit Lions. When you look at what Bob Quinn has done since 2016, 31-43-1, that's what they are under his tenure. This is a team that has not had a problem at quarterback, right? I mean, they have one of the more consistent quarterbacks that we've seen over the last decade in the league. I mean, go ahead, name them off the top of your head. You can think of maybe 6, 7 quarterbacks that have been more consistent over a decade than Matt Stafford, and they still haven't found ways to win. And so when the announcement was made and Sheila Ford-Hamp, the owner of the team, comes out and says, quote, it just clearly wasn't working. Yeah, she's 100% correct. It just was not working.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, they had some success. Remember, I think the last time we were talking about that, Jim Schwartz, Stafford, it seems like forever ago, but he was throwing the ball to Calvin Johnson. Mm-hmm. And that team won 9 to 10 games. They were in the playoffs, kind of fell apart. Johnson left. Schwartz is fired. Matty P takes over. But again, you're right. A tough guy, a consistent guy, top arm talent. I mean, the guy can wing it. He's thrown for 5,000 yards in the NFL, so not many players in the history of the NFL have done that. It clearly wasn't working, and it is a shock, especially defensively. You thought they would be more consistent, right? Coming in with a new scheme, you know, a hand in hand, you know, Bob Quinn and Patricia come in together, known each other, worked together. So yeah, you expected more, and you're right. So the question now, Jordan, is how attractive is this job?
Well, yeah, I think there's a list of guys. I mean, Robert Saleh, obviously, of San Francisco, has got to be first in line for this gig, you would think. But then even taking it a step further, I'll tell you what really interests me now. The fact that Daryl Bevel is the interim head coach, and this is a guy's name that we have heard many of times getting interviews. And it doesn't matter at what level. If we're talking the NFL, we've heard rumors of Daryl Bevel making a switch to college football. This guy's name is always around in interviews, but he's never landed a head coaching job. So before you even start and take a look at the guys that could replace Matt Patricia, we have in front of us over the next 4 to 5 weeks an audition for Daryl Bevel, whose name has been mentioned many of times.
Yeah, absolutely. This guy called plays in the Super Bowl. He won one and was famous for another play call with Seattle. The guy's been around, so this might be the chance he finally gets. Attractive job. But it's interesting, you know, Jim Caldwell got fired in Detroit after 2-9-7 seasons. Because they wanted to take a step the next level, right? Matty P was supposed to go from 9-7 to deep in the playoffs, and the next level, you know, taking a step forward was really a step back. So that's an interesting, you know, situation there in Detroit. Again, Daryl Bevel called plays, an offensive-minded guy. You know, he had the Super Bowl ring with Seattle. You know, he's been roasted for one of the most famous Super Bowl play calls ever. Getting intercepted by Malcolm Butler and Bill Belichick in the Super Bowl at the goal line, you know. That was his call. And ultimately probably cost him his job there in Seattle. So this is interesting, but you're right. He's been around all levels, all positions, respected guy in the NFL. So right now, yeah, he's getting a job interview. He's got a head start, right? But normally, Jordan, when you look at these, you know, an interim coach – is really behind the eight ball when there's no general manager.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the next general manager in Detroit's probably going to call his guy, right?
You would think.
Most likely, if they don't promote from within, they're going to hire a general manager first. Then they hire a head coach. You know, 99 out of 100 times, that's usually how it goes. You know, they want to hire the general manager, get their front office situated. That front office will then hire their coach. So, you know, there are some other jobs open now. Daryl Bevel's going to get a job interview for maybe some of these other jobs, because we do know right now that Houston's got an interim coach, Atlanta's got an interim coach, Detroit, Jacksonville most likely, right? They've fired their GM, so mm-hmm. Jacksonville's going to be a job opening. There's a good chance there's going to be a job opening in L.A. So – some of these other teams. How many jobs are going to be open, we don't know. But this is an interesting situation to watch because, like you said, they have a stadium. They have a pretty solid ownership group that doesn't meddle too much, a quarterback. And I don't believe they have a lot of cap problems. So some young running back talent. You know, this job's not a bad job, Jordan.
No, it's not a bad job. But if you look at some of the other spots that will be open, we have seen teams start depleting assets, especially from a draft capital, right? It's one of the reasons why we love the situation that Brian Flores is in Miami right now. When you look at Detroit, they're not in any dire straight situation where they don't have the assets where they could rebuild this team almost overnight. In fact, when you look at a quarterback like Matt Stafford, there's a good chance that this is going to be it for him in Detroit. Again, there's another asset that you can move on from, and you're going to coop something in return for it. So I honestly think that the puzzle pieces in Detroit are lining up for whoever gets the next head job, whoever takes over a general manager. You're not working with a bare cupboard. You're definitely not.
No, this isn't a bad gig. You know, some of these other gigs we're going to see open up Jacksonville. You know, they have a high draft pick, but, I mean, right now, look at the talent in Jacksonville. It's not elite. When you look at Houston, honestly, you know, J.J. Watt's been solid. He's not great anymore. You have Deshaun Watson, but what else you have there?
Right. Yeah, you got Will Fuller, who's serving
a
six-game suspension.
There's not a lot of young talent. Detroit, DeAndre Swift's played pretty good. Kerryon Johnson, if he's healthy, has played okay. Jeffrey Okuda has looked really good. Jamie Collins is still there. Danny Shelton. There's still some guys there. You know, I don't know what the scheme will be, but it looks like they could probably play. So, again, one of the more attractive jobs, I think, if, you know, as of right now, Atlanta turning around, right? Raheem Morris, he's earning himself some interviews and getting some reviews now. He's 4-2, Jordan, as an interim coach. And that's a tough job. Being an interim coach is a very difficult job. That is not your guys, not your staff. You're part of a team that, you know, if you're the interim coach, things have not gone your way. You know, very rarely do the teams look and play and function very well and the coach get fired. That doesn't happen very often at all. So these are tough jobs, too. Being an interim coach is a very tough job.
Matt Patricia, the first coach out in the NFL. We do have to break for just a moment. Vinny, we got one more segment. When we come back, I want to talk about quarterback situation between three teams that are in a playoff battle. Last night, we saw another subpar performance from Carson Wentz. We saw a Jalen Hurts appearance as well. Playoff picture again. It's becoming really unclear. Quarterback talk when we return. It's Football Tuesday, and it's here on Drive Time Sports.
I understand you're a real sports fan.
Well, then there's only one answer.
Turn on the radio. You'll never have to compromise again.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM at 750 AM.
Football Tuesday here on Drive Time Sports. Last night, Week 12 comes to an end. Seattle back in first place in the NFC West as they top the Philadelphia Eagles 23-17. Another subpar performance from Carson Wentz. We actually even saw a Jalen Hurts appearance last night. There was a rumor that Hurts would actually be the starter in Philly. I don't know what's going to happen in Philadelphia right now. We were just talking about coaches on the hot seat. I think Doug Peterson's name is probably going to be on the hot seat when we start taking a look at the end of the season and even Black Monday. Vinny, if we look at the way Carson Wentz played last night, it wasn't good. It wasn't good once again. Yet still, Philadelphia has an opportunity to sneak into the playoffs in the NFC East. At this point in time, should Doug Peterson look to make a quarterback change in order to save his job, or is that hyperbole? Is that jumping to conclusion?
That's a tough question. And you know, it's a very odd situation in the fact, Jordan, you got to remember, you know, for fans that, you know, casual fans is one thing, but for guys that watch a lot of football, when's the last time you remember a division being this bad?
Never.
I mean, honestly, this could be one of the worst divisions. This could be one of the worst playoff teams in NFL history. So it's a unique situation. It's also unique to the fact that at times Carson Wentz looked like he could be a top five quarterback in the NFL. The year they went to the Super Bowl, you know, there's a lot of talk and Nick Foles won that game. But that team was on a roll, and for the first 12 weeks before he was injured, he was the NFL MVP.
No question. There's no doubt. Before he went down, it was a game against the Rams, and it was a game. It was a thrilling contest. I mean, if I'm not mistaken, it was back and forth throughout, and you're watching, at that point in time, you're watching Goff and Wentz, and you're thinking, these two guys are going to be very, very good.
Absolutely. I mean, we were looking at the NFL MVP. He gets hurt. The team was hot and on a roll, and you know, when you got that mojo going and you have a veteran guy in Nick Foles that steps in that's already played in big games and been places and been in a playoff game, it makes a huge difference. Your team's already on a roll. You don't have to change anything. And Wentz looked at that time. But since that moment, we've seen him plateau, and we're not seeing him getting any better. And this year, he's just getting flat worse. He looks confused. He looks lost. Some of the ball placement's been awful. A lot of turnovers. He's not looked good. He doesn't look comfortable. And, you know, the same could be said for Jared Goff at times.
At times, yeah, I agree. Well, yeah, I agree with you at times.
The quarterbacks we were waiting to take the next step to be the next guy have kind of plateaued out. And, you know, it's a little – they're still young. They're still talented. I mean, there's plenty of time here. And you know, Goff's played better this year than Wentz, obviously, but – you know, it is a little bit, you know, a little bit scary to see these guys not play well.
The thing that there are variables that have to be considered here. I mean, last night Carson Wentz, he sacked six times in this game. He sacked six times, and when you look at the weapons that Carson Wentz has in Philadelphia, I mean, you'd have to be if you're a casual football fan, you're not going to recognize any of these names. I mean, you look at what they have coming out of the backfield: Miles Sanders, Boston Scott. I mean, it really puts Wentz in a difficult situation. Now, on the flip side, I can look at Jared Goff, and I can say when Goff has time and when the Rams are establishing a rushing attack, he's very good. Okay, but I could also say that about 10 other quarterbacks in the league, right? So that's what makes it so difficult.
Yeah.
That's what makes this conversation so difficult to have.
Yeah, you're exactly right. That's a great point. For you know, I mean, even backup quarterbacks, if you're running the ball well, your defense is playing well, and you have time to throw the ball, they're going to do good. I mean, the Case Keenums of the world look really good on teams that do that, and we've seen that. You know, a couple years ago when he went to the NFC Championship game, with the Vikings. Good running game, great defense. Don't turn it over. Play solid. Hey, you can go a long way. A lot of teams go a long way with that.
No doubt.
But these things come up, Jordan, is when you get $150 million to be the face of the franchise, you're going to pick up your game, and maybe you have to take your team on your back and lead them to victory. And we're not seeing these guys doing that. You know, I mean, with Wentz, it's harder than Goff, obviously, because you're right. That's a great point. Carson Wentz is playing behind an offensive line that looks like, you know, a piss-poor college offensive line. They don't look good. And so going on to, you know, even Goff, he's had some healthy receivers and stuff. And he's got some weapons, too. You know, has an advantage with Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods. These are very good players. Higby, Everett. So with Goff, maybe even some people are going to say that's a little more disconcerting than Wentz, because Wentz is playing with nothing. So, but both. I mean, the point is, when you give these guys $150 million or whatever their giant guaranteed numbers are, I think they both got triple-digit guaranteed, if I'm not mistaken, Jordan. You give away that kind of money, they're going to have to play big-time football. And right now, both of them seem to be struggling playing big-time football.
So I guess taking it even one step further, you and I were talking off the cuff about Jared Goff, and is he a system quarterback in Los Angeles, and is that a fair conversation to have? And yeah, it may be a fair conversation to have, but then if he's a system quarterback, I'm going to take the Goff situation one step further than Wentz, because I agree with you, Wentz has no options. The eye test is really what you have to rely on with Wentz. But if Goff is becoming a system quarterback, and we look at the games where he has struggled this year, struggled against Brian Flores and Miami, struggled against Kyle Shanahan and the 49ers twice. If Goff is a system quarterback and there's a reoccurring theme about the defense thrown at Goff that forces him to struggle, what does that say about Sean McVay?
Yeah, that's a good point. They're having trouble. You know, he wants to establish run wide, lots of boots, lots of play action, lots of crossing routes. And when teams are taking that away and Goff has to draw back and throw, they're not adjusting well to that and adjusting well to pressure. And part of that's coaching. You're right. It's the scheme him out of those, keep him away. Work on his weaknesses and keep him out of that. And, you know, the game of football is all about adjustments. It is a constant moving adjustment thing. And for McVay, he's going to have to adjust to the league catching some of these, you know, some of these plays, some of these movement, waggles, boots, the things he's been doing, he loves to do. If they're catching into that, then he's going to have to adjust his game plan. And that's what the NFL is about, Jordan. That's great coaches do that. If they have to adjust their scheme to their players, whatever they have to do, that's what you do. And, you know, maybe McVay has got to look at that. And, again, we're talking about a team that's right in the playoff hunt, too. And, you know, they're not, you know, in the same situation. Goff is not nearly in the situation that Wentz is. I know Wentz is in the playoff hunt, theoretically, but we both know that Philadelphia, I mean, that whole situation's an anomaly because of how bad these teams look. I agree with you on the McVay assessment. At some point, you have to look in the mirror and say, hey, I'm struggling with this. How do I fix it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it's fair.
You know, him being an offensive guy, that's what he's, you know, that's why he's there.
Mm-hmm. And these two quarterbacks will always be connected due to the fact that they went 1-2 in 2015. They're always going to be connected. So we're going to end the show with this. If you have to pick one, Goff or Wentz, who would you rather have right now?
At this moment, it's Jared Goff. Yeah, it's Jared Goff. He seems to have a more stable. And, you know, and let's be honest, Jordan, physically talent-wise, I mean, if you're going to look at upside and physical talent, you're probably going to say Wentz. But in the NFL, the stable, more, you know, right now playing more consistent. While he's not playing elite, he's not terrible. It's got to be Goff. Less turnovers, you know, some different things that I would take Goff.
On top of everything else, the old saying, availability trumps ability. Well, Goff has been available, Wentz has not, and that also matters.
That's right. Yeah, that's correct. And so, yeah, I'm with you. We're in agreement there. It's Goff. And again, you know, we're being pretty tough on two guys in some tough situations. But, I mean, Jared Goff's not playing horrible football either, Jordan. This guy, maybe he's not top five right now playing elite quarterback. But he's been a good, solid football player. This is a good, solid football player.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, look, they're 7-4. Very easily could be 9-2. I mean, honestly, so, yeah, I'm with you. And plus, this is a kid that has also gone to a Super Bowl, took his team through the playoffs through a Super Bowl. And even though Wentz played lights out throughout a regular season, he didn't do that.
Yeah, he hasn't done that. And you know, again, these are young guys. I believe they're 26 years old. They're still young quarterbacks. And again, they're not playing awful. Goff isn't. But, you know, you want to see, you know, the only thing you're missing from Goff is you want to see him maybe just take that next step to go from very good to elite. And when you pay a guy that amount of money, that's what you're paying for. I mean, it's a result-driven business, and quarterbacks are judged differently. And that's kind of what you want to see, though, right, Jordan? I mean, you want to see Jared Goff one day take the team on his back and, you know, go on a run where he goes lights out for four games, they win four ball games in a row. And I mean, you want to see that.
Vinny Rondinelli, Jordan Buscarini, Football Tuesday here on Drive Time Sports. Unfortunately, we are out of time. I guess on a football note, we cannot forget we're going to get the new college football playoff rankings. Those will be coming out here in just a moment. Vinny, I always look forward to it. Next Tuesday, we'll get you back in studio.
Absolutely, buddy. Can't wait.
All right. Be safe. We are out.